interesting to have a military perspective on this issue. Our next guest also has a military perspective on this. Walter Dorn is the chair of the Department of Security and International Affairs at the Canadian Forces College. He also teaches at RMC and the Pearson Peacekeeping Center. Among other things, his research includes arms control and conflict prevention. Good afternoon.
Hi, Amanda.
Well, Walter, we know about this meeting in Geneva. What is your own perspective on the kind of conversation that should be going on there?
Right. So this is my own perspective. I'm not speaking on behalf of the Canadian military, but using my academic freedom. I think there should be a moratorium now on lethal autonomous weapon systems, and I think there should be negotiations towards a complete ban for three reasons. I call them the three A's relating to autonomous systems. First, the dangers of accidents. We can't wait until a massacre happens when one of these autonomous weapon systems is set loose and kills human beings. Mm-hmm. Second is accountability. It's already mentioned by your earlier guests and callers that we have to have command responsibility. If a robot kills a human being, then who's going to be held responsible? There's such vague accountability rules. Is it the manufacturer? Is it the programmer? Or is it the person who turns the robot on? It just becomes a mess. And finally, the third A is availability. If these weapon systems become widely available because they're first developed in the military, then they become proliferating through nations and through different groups and into the commercial sphere, then this could really wreak havoc. So there's a huge danger here, and I think it's better to address this question early rather than later.
That's an area we hadn't talked about yet, the availability issue and the idea of wreaking havoc. For instance, we do see a lot of military technology making its way into law enforcement. Mm-hmm. Can you see what, when you say wreak havoc, what do you see?
Well, as soon as you give the computer inside the robot the decision on whether to take a life or not, then you are creating a factor that could be used in all kinds of situations which can go out of control. So that's where I talk about wreaking havoc. The systems that Stephen Groves was talking about earlier, the ones that were currently deployed, they are against machines. They're incoming missiles, and we haven't made that step towards lethal autonomous robots, which means that you have the killing human beings. I don't have an objection. I want to be very carefully monitored to make sure it doesn't become lethal, but I don't have an objection to Raytheon's Phalanx system, for instance, the one that Steve Groves mentioned about anti-ship missiles coming in towards a ship, and then there'd be a degree of autonomy in terms of hitting that missile down, mm-hmm. or the Harpy missiles. But I do object when you're targeting human beings. There's a moral factor that comes in that makes it very important that the life and death decision, as your caller Carl from Petawawa said, that there be a human in the loop. The JAG officer, Judge Advocate General officer, who is looking at whether this violates laws of armed conflict, that person has to be in the loop to make those decisions. You can't leave that to a machine.
When you see the UK and the United States, for instance, wanting to, and Canada in this case, wanting to keep an open mind on this issue, why would a ban, how would it work even? We can't stop, for instance, other countries from developing this technology. How would a ban be even useful?
Because a ban would set up an international norm, a standard, and there could be international pressure put on nations to be able to make their own domestic legislation to ban it within their country and to sign up to the treaty so that they would become party to it. That's the way that we enact international law. We don't have a world body or a world government. So the best that we can do is creating a treaty regime, which there's a huge amount of pressure for countries to sign up, like the Landmine Convention, which has been very successful. Even though the United States hasn't signed up, it's still agreed to a moratorium. It's still abiding by the provisions of the convention, even if it hasn't signed on.
What's the connection here to, for instance, atomic weapons, atomic bomb or nuclear weapons? Have we had any success, for instance, in limitations there that can be used here?
Yes, there is a ban on nuclear testing, so that could be an example for our laws, the lethal autonomous weapon systems, that we say that these systems will not be tested. Then we know that it doesn't go on to that next step. In nuclear weapons, there's also a non-proliferation treaty. I think we have to do much better and do what we did in landmines. We create a non-discriminatory treaty where all nations have the same rules and the same commitments.
All right, let's take some calls and see how people feel about this issue. We're going to go to Brandon in Hamilton. Brandon, we're asking the question, should Canada remain or keep an open mind on this issue of killer robots? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think we should definitely keep an open mind. There's many issues. The one that I took point at was worrying about accountability. It seems obvious to me that if, for instance, the idea of hacking, that it seems obvious to me that the people accountable would be the hackers. I don't think it would be difficult to go up the chain of command, find out where the fault was, and see that, oh, we need to go after terrorists or people who are hacking into military equipment, especially given that they met certain standards suitable for military software, of course, right?
Does the vulnerability, though, to hacking not freak you out?
I mean, not really. It's like I had mentioned to your screener, is that the we have nuclear weapons. It's not, I mean, we know, for instance, that there's still several nuclear weapons that were lost during the Cold War on both sides. Somebody could find those. We know that, for instance, people steal shipments of weapons in different parts of the world all the time, or what have you, never mind massacres in North America and stuff like that. And that's just through hand weapons. I think it'll be a long time before we see, say, an attack on our soil, if you will, with a drone or a hacked drone. You'll see a lot more machine gun attacks because of upset teenagers than you will drone attacks. So I just think people need to be more educated and kind of open-minded, not be so afraid of new things. Obviously, if we're going to ban weapons, ban weapons.
All right. Our guest is Walter Dorn. He's the chair of the Department of Security and International Affairs at the Canadian Forces College, also teaching at RMC, speaking on his own behalf as part of academic freedom. But Walter Dorn, I'm also looking at this tweet that says, the question isn't should Canada support killer robots? The question is, this is from Brian C., the question is, how are we going to evolve, adapt to them? It's inevitable. What do you say to that?
I think that there is an element of truth that these technologies will develop. They will get artificial intelligence systems. We will integrate them in with weapon systems, and that commercially they will become available. So how we evolve to that is creating a strong international regime starting at the present time early so that we can create laws that we can control these weapons just as we control automatic rifles and other forms of military weapons. It has to be a concerted international effort.
We've got Jordan in North Bay. Jordan, what is your perspective on this? Should Canada remain, keep an open mind on the issue of lethal automated weapon systems?
No, I don't think it's a good idea at all, really. I think the Americans are probably going to lead the way in this technology. I think there's a lack of trust in not just the American government, but governments across the world. And I don't think that their motives are necessarily in the right direction. I think that with new technology, they want to use this. I think it's a bad motivation to go to war. I don't think it's the only motivation to go to war, but I think it will play a part. And I think they've lost trust in the people over the years. They brought us to war in Iraq and Afghanistan and for 12, 13 years, and look where that's got us. Mm. We're still going through that, and just basically comes down to a lack of trust in not only the American government, but governments across the world.
Okay, Jordan, you bring up a very interesting point. And in fact, there is a company here in Ottawa, ClearPath Robotics, that is part of the call for the ban. And they, in fact, sell some of their technology to the military industry. But their fear is this issue of trust. The belief, they're saying that they strive to improve the lives of billions of by automating the world's dull, dirty, and dangerous jobs. This belief does not preclude the use of autonomous robots in the military, but their fear is that people will no longer trust robotic technology, which is critical for the future development of this technology, if we start using them as weapons. Do you agree, Walter Dorn?
Yes, I do. I think that our society is moving towards greater technology, smarter phones. And if we decide that we're going to automate some of these with lethal capability, then it will put a huge hole in an effort that could otherwise be very productively used for the betterment of human beings.
Just looking at a study just recently conducted by Charlie Carpenter, a professor of political science at the University of Massachusetts, and he found that 55% of Americans oppose the trend towards the usage of automated weapons systems, and 40% of those describe themselves as strongly opposed. Does the public have a role here, Walter?
Sure, they do. In the end, it's the politicians who will be making the laws, and we have to. There has to be public pressure for what the public wants. I think that the phrase automated weapon system allows you a door to be able to create some systems which are working against machines. They would target machines. What I'm concerned is adding the L. When it becomes lethal, then you're adding the human component that human beings are the target. And that's where we should draw the line.
Okay, let's go to Keith in Canada. Keith, what's your perspective on this? We're asking, should Canada remain open to the idea of developing this technology?
Well, I think it's a question that needs to be looked at really, really carefully. I think one of the issues that's not actually been thought about it that I've heard is how this changes the use of these sort of weapons, which changed the basic nature of warfare. Warfare presumably is putting your nation's resources, people at risk against the resources of someone else's nation. If one is sitting in a control room, perhaps thousands of miles away, it becomes really, notwithstanding the fact that it's a person controlling perhaps the kill button, it becomes much more like a video game. Mm-hmm. The person pressing the button is actually taking no personal risk in mm-hmm. this. And what does that do to the approach to warfare? And you're using it by definition against a less technologically advanced enemy, presumably. Otherwise, they would be having these weapons as well, and then you have the robots fighting robots. I'm not sure that even counts as warfare, because what's the end game? I think it's it is a very slippery slope. I think that the removal of the personal risk factor for one's own forces perhaps makes warfare a more palatable option, one can resort to more readily if you could think, okay, we can kill other people's other nations' armies without actually putting our own men at risk. Hmm. And I'm not sure that doesn't change the equation very dramatically.
Very interesting. Keith, thank you for that. We've got Eric in London, Ontario. Eric, what's your perspective on this? We're asking, should Canada remain open-minded when it comes to developing this technology? What do you say?
I definitely think we've got to keep an open mind when it comes to this technology. Most of your callers have been talking about the lethality of it and going against other people and just wiping out entire armies. And a lot of people have been not so great on saying that this is a technology that is meant to limit the amount of killing that goes on the field. Yes, it is a lethal technology, but it doesn't necessarily have to be. You've got large-scale like laser guidance and super accuracy with these machines. They can focus on taking people off the battlefield in non-lethal ways. A shot in the hand so that someone can't use their rifle against what would otherwise be a friendly or civilian force, even.
Mm. I don't think the technology is there yet, probably. But
to that note, if we don't create this technology now, someone else is going to. There's been a lot of your callers that have commented on international law and human rights, and there's a lot of countries out there that don't care about international law. They will create this technology and use it against us if we don't beat them to the punch.
Okay, very interesting, Eric. Thank you very much for giving us that contribution. And our guest is Walter Dorn. He's the chair of the Department of Security and International Affairs at the Canadian Forces College, also teaches at RMC. And Walter Dorn, on this issue, on the first gentleman's issue on talking about this takes risk out of the equation. What are your thoughts on that?
I think there will always be some degree of risk, but his point that it would lower the barrier to war, that it would mm-hmm. be easier to engage when you just have to push a button and launch a lethal autonomous weapon system, I think that's a very real danger. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a fallacy that Steve Groves brought, that if we had only landed robots on the beaches of Normandy rather than human beings, how great that would be. Well, just imagine if the Germans had robots and they had better robots, or they landed their robots on the shores of England. It's just, we have to stop this before these scenarios can actually become reality.
And on this, on the second issue about the idea that, in fact, this could prevent death. So, for instance, on one side of the equation, certainly you are preventing death. But also, if one country has this weapon, the other country will be less likely to be aggressive. So it might actually create a more peaceful scenario. What's your sense about that?
Well, Eric's point about limiting killing is valid. There are some scenarios in which robots could actually be less lethal and be more accurate than human beings, but that has to be weighed against the dangers that if they're gone haywire, the accidents or the hackers, that they could be misused. Your enemy would turn your own weapon system against you. I do like his idea of non-lethal weapons, that even though there's a danger of their misuse, the risk is of fatality is much less. So we could equip some robots with non-lethal technologies and maybe even just putting themselves in the way of someone moving in with a gun. There's possibilities there.
Well, do you know whether this technology is being developed right here in Canada or whether there are companies here that are working in this area that could benefit from the rise of this technology?
Well, the general area of technology, there's lots of work being done. Defense Research and Development Canada, DRDC, is looking at smarter weapons. So therefore, you have inside the weapon more information than you have previously, and that you can have special scopes which give you assessments of your targets. In the end, it's still the human being pulling a trigger. So it doesn't come up against this challenge of taking the human out of the loop.
Okay, well, we've got Nasser on the line from Toronto. Nasser, you actually work for a manufacturing company. Tell me about what you're doing.
Yes, thank you. Well, actually, we are a small startup here in Toronto, Supernova Aerospace Corporation. What we have seen is we could certainly use the drone technology for the benefit of the human beings. For example, we have started a project called Drones for Humanity, where we are manufacturing certain drones to carry, let's say, life-saving drugs in areas where we don't want to risk the human life. So we could certainly use this technology for the benefit of the humanity. Now, in terms of your question, whether we should really use the, whether Canada should be open for these kind of technologies, yes, it should be, but again, for the benefit of the humanity. However, I do totally agree with a couple of callers before that we have to have accountability when we are using the technology, you know, and there could be accidents and there should be accountability as well.
Well, let me just get a little bit more precise. We're talking about lethal automated weapons systems. Do you think Canada should remain open to that technology?
Well, as I said, no, I don't support that particular idea for lethal weapons. But, of course, if we can slightly dissect ourselves to look into other applications of drones, then yes, we should be open for that.
Well, you bring up a very interesting point, Nasser, because often what we are seeing is that the kind of investment and resources that go around military technology will likely lead to the development of AI, robot technology that, and we've seen this in the past, we've seen it with missiles, leading to space adventure, etc. Nasser, is that what you're referring to?
Yes, I am actually referring to that because, see, at the end of the day, we got to really use technology for the benefit of humans, not for wars or for killing human beings. Like today, the application that we see all over in the Middle East and in North Africa, where the drones are being used for targeting human beings, which I do not support that.
Okay, Nasser, thank you very much for joining us. And we've got Hamish in Toronto. Matt in London. Matt, what's your sense about whether we should remain open?
Well, my sense of it really is a weapon is a weapon. I mean, the NRA in the United States will go on and on about how a gun is a defensive weapon. It's hilarious. The fact is, once you have a drone, whether it's non-lethal or lethal, that's just whatever rounds it's carrying. It's the targeting system that is going to ultimately decide. Well, it's the targeting system itself is what the technology is. You can load a drone with whatever type of rounds you want. It's the targeting that's the important aspect. Now, whether that's, the Western nations that create that, we can say, hopefully, cross fingers, that we're using it responsibly, but it's a weapon. Once a weapon is manufactured, it's going to be available, whether through scrupulous means or unscrupulous means. And if a nation that doesn't really care about how it's using it gets their hands on it, or a faction doesn't care how they're using it, it's not going to be used responsibly.
Right. Well, Matt, you make a very interesting point. And we've seen, in particular, American weapons used in Afghanistan, in Iraq, now in Syria. Walter Dorn is our guest this hour. I want to thank you very much for joining us. You're the chair of the Department of Security and International Affairs at the Canadian Forces College. You also teach at RMC. Last question to you before we go. I just want to underline this fact. Why does a ban make a difference? How do they work? If other countries are going to develop this anyway, why would a ban be effective?
Because it sets an international standard, you create a verification mechanism, and then you can put pressure on nations to live up to that ban. It means that you have the capability in the international community of some means of control. It's not an absolute control. We don't have world law, but it's the closest thing we have. You're creating a standard that will help us to remember our humanity.
Okay, very interesting. I imagine that this discussion will go on and on. Is it something that's being discussed right at the college, Walter?
Yes, I've supervised master's degree students who are researching on this. It's an active area of negotiation.
Well, very interesting. I want to thank you very much for joining us this hour, Walter Dorn, the chair of the Department of Security and International Affairs at Canadian Forces College. Tomorrow, we're going to switch gears completely. The difference